This morning's reading is Psalm 145. I will exalt you, my King and my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another, and they will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving to all he has made. The Lord uplifts all those who fall and lifts up all those who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you will give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving to all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. This is the word of the Lord.
Pauline, thank you so much for reading that so well. It's so lovely to be with you all. It's lovely to see some very familiar faces. And for those that I've not met, I hope to meet you after the service, maybe. My name's Tim. I was part of this church for quite a while. I'm now training for ministry at Oak Hill College. Let's pray. Why don't we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for who you are and all that you have done. Father, we thank you, and Lord, we pray that you would be helping us now. Help each one of us now in this time to find something of you that we can delight in, that we can praise you for. In Jesus' name, amen. The crowd begin to stir. It's him. We think it's really him. A shadow enters the stage. The spotlight shines on. It is. It's the king. Now, this king is no ordinary king. Not only does he rule over the people, but he is a master songwriter as well. He picks up the microphone and begins to sing. He points his hand to the heavens and sings this, I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Verse after verse, he sings. He sings of the Lord's power and greatness, his glory and majesty, his compassion and grace, his faithfulness and love, his closeness and care. This is not a performance to impress the crowd. This is heartfelt praise that will go on forever. Every day, he praises God forever and ever. He finishes the song in front of the crowds with these words, my mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. You see, the king that sings our psalm today is certain that there is much to praise God for. In fact, there's so much to praise God for that he is going to praise God every single day, forever and ever and ever. And the question for us today is, will we join in? Will we join in this eternal praise? I imagine, just having spoken to some people this morning, there's a number of people really hurting, in a lot of pain in this church family. And I imagine for many, when we reach a psalm like this one, a psalm of praise, a question that might come up is, how could I possibly praise when life is so difficult? When I feel like this, I have this illness, or I fear for my family member. When I feel so lonely, when people at school treat me so badly. And this psalm here today is not telling us to pretend like everything's okay. It's not saying, get over it, you're fine, those things don't really matter. No, it's saying that the pain that you feel is real. You see, the psalms we've been hearing over the summer, again and again, acknowledge the suffering and pain in this world. The psalms give us language to lament the pain that we feel. But the psalms also tell us that through the tears, there is much to praise God for. In fact, the king of our psalm says that there is never a day that will go by that he won't praise God. And I take it that this includes both the wonderful days and also the rubbish ones. You see, this king is not naive to suffering. You'll notice that the title of the psalm is a psalm of praise of David. It's written by the hand of King David, but if we know anything about David, we know that he's not the one that sings this song day after day for all eternity. So many days did David fail to praise God. No, there's no person here, no person in all of creation has sung praises to God day after day for all eternity. Except one. I read this written by a minister that I thought I could not phrase it any better myself, so I'm just going to read this to you. And he describes about 1,000 years after King David. 1,000 years after King David, a boy sang the Psalms in the synagogue. And as he grew, a child, a youth, a young man, every time he heard the call to praise in the Psalms, he met it with an answering cry from his own heart. Yes, yes, yes. I will do that. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. I will. And he did. With every word of his lips, each action of his life, every affection of his heart, he gave glory to the Father and proclaimed how great he is. You see, our lead singer of this psalm today is Jesus Christ. The psalm is sung by a king who knows suffering better than anyone. And yet he still says, I will praise your name forever and ever. He just can't help but praise our God. So we ask, what is it about God that makes him so worthy of praise? And the answer is loads of things. And there's loads of things in this psalm, actually. And I'm just going to have to kind of restrain myself and pick out a number. And the first thing that Christ sings is that the Lord is great and mighty. If you look down at verse 3, it says this. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. We cannot comprehend the size and might of God. A few weeks back, I went to the beach in North Norfolk. And I don't know if you remember what the weather was like a few weeks back, but it was quite something. One day I went down to the beach. I go there each year, and I'd never seen the sea quite like it. Waves coming all the way up to the promenade. Waves as far as I could see were crashing. Off as, near the horizon, all I could see was white as waves crashed off into the distance. The sea was grey with darkness. The might was enormous. And as I looked over what seemed this vast area of sea, I was just thinking, this is all adapted by God and his hand. And yet, the amount of sea that I was looking at is only a small fraction of the oceans around the world. I did some research this past week. Apparently, there's 320 million cubic miles of water in the oceans. And God holds all that in his hands. His greatness, no one can fathom. Verse 4, Christ sings of generation, kind of after generation, that cannot help but tell of the mighty works of God. And I wonder if you can picture people with me, people after people, age after age, where people sit around the campfires or talk as they walk along the road or over the meal table, whatever it might be, and they talk of the greatness of God and his mighty works. And maybe they speak of the God of creation who created the stars and the moons and the planets just by his words, who created blue whales who are enormous. I read this week that a blue whale's heart weighs the same as a cow. Crazy. He's created mountains so big that they're 10 times higher than our tallest building. He's made bears so strong that they can break bowling balls with their mouths. What a mighty God. Maybe around the campfire, generation after generation, they speak of God's mighty works there in the Exodus. As he rescued his people from Egypt, turning water into blood. He sent mighty hailstorms. He made it dark during the day. He executed deathly judgment. He made a path of water through the sea with walls of water either side. He provided food from heaven and water from rocks. Maybe generation after generation speak of Jesus Christ, who came, the Son of God, as a baby that we could hold. To rescue his people, that son died on the cross, defeating death, smashing Satan, squashing sin, and God raised him from the dead, that at the name of Jesus, every knee may bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. What a mighty God we have. What mighty works he has done. Christ goes on to sing that the Lord is glorious and compassionate. You see, our God not only is mighty, but our God sits on the throne of the greatest of kingdoms. He is king over a people who hail him as king, and his kingdom will never stop. Verse 13 says, if you look down at it, Christ sings, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. You see, kingdoms and empires come and go. There are many kingdoms that at one stage would have looked imperishable. Nothing could stop them. But now we just read about them in the history books. Think of them. The Assyrian Empire, Roman Empires, Kingdom of Kush, Ottoman Empire, and the list could just go on and on as kingdom after kingdom falls. Yet there is one that stands, and it is God who's ruling over it. It's his kingdom that will never be defeated and will never cease. You see, this is really important for us to remember here in the UK. I don't know what happens when you think about the church, God's kingdom here in this country. It can be so tempting to think on church doors closing, few young people in these churches, division amongst church leaders. All these things make it look like God's kingdom is crumbling. Is this really a glorious kingdom with a glorious king ruling over them? And the answer is yes, it is a glorious kingdom. Yes, it is an eternal kingdom, and our king is glorious. Iran is one of the most dangerous countries in the world to be a Christian. Christians there have to meet in small house churches because the Islamic government there persecute them. And if they know that these church gatherings are happening, then many get imprisoned. They won't get educated. They lose their jobs. How tempting it could seem to be thinking that the church is so frail. God's kingdom is so weak. God's the king over this kingdom must be so small. Yet Iran has one of the fastest growing churches in the world. You see, God's kingdom will never die. No human power can stop it. Just think on after Jesus died, rose again and ascended to heaven, that small group of men and women trembling. What is going to happen to God's kingdom? Yet think of the billions who have come to know God and hail him as their king since then. Think of the millions around the globe who praise him as their king today. God's kingdom cannot be stopped. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. For any kingdom to last, it needs people. It needs people willing to sit under the rule of a king. And I imagine some of us might be asking, what is it that means that people all around the globe, down the generations, have been letting God be their king? What causes person after person to enter through those gates, bow the knee before God, and say, yes, I will be part of your kingdom? Well, I think part of it will be realizing what that king is like. If you look at verse 8 with me, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. You see, the thing that makes God's kingdom so attractive, so wonderful, is not its size or that it will just go on forever. It's not the people that are in it, but it is the ruler that is over it. You see, he is like no other, totally supreme in power and might, yet he shows compassion and grace on all his subjects. In Exodus, as we were thinking about a bit earlier, God had used his great power to move heaven and earth that his people might be freed. He freed his people for great privileges, that they could be his kingdom, a treasured possession. And despite all this, they turn away. They turn to a statue and give this gold statue the credit that God deserves. And we might be thinking that, what's God going to do? This people, his kingdom. Really? Start again? Find a better group of people? But not long later, the Lord announces what he's like. He says, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. You see, billions of people have come into the kingdom of God knowing that they are unworthy, knowing that they do not deserve to have God as their king. Yet the Lord forgives. The Lord welcomes them in. The Lord shows compassion and grace. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. And Christ continues to sing. He has more wonderful things to sing of the Lord. He sings that the Lord is loving and faithful. The second part of verse 13 says, the Lord is faithful to all he promises and loving towards all he has made. Now, this is a bit random, but I wonder whether sometimes we can think of God as a bit like an emperor penguin. Okay, stay with me. So emperor penguins care for their young until they're 5 months old. So they provide food, they protect from danger. And then once they're 5 months, they kind of abandon their young. Every bit of food that 5-month-year-old, 5-month-old gains, every bit of danger that they avoid is earned by that young penguin. In the same way, I think we can think that God provides for us at some times in our lives. But the rest of the time, we kind of fend for ourselves. Everything else is kind of earned by us. Verse 15, for example, says, the eyes of all look to you. Not just a few people, but everyone around the globe looks to God. And you give them their food at the proper time. You see, throughout our lives, and for every single person, everything we have is provided by God. He never abandons us to fend for ourselves, go earn it. No, he gives food and possessions, family and friends, sport and music, happiness and laughter, beauty and comfort, work and sleep. None of these are earned by us, but all are given by the Lord. And the astounding thing is that it's not just the Christian, those that have bowed the knee before God as their king. No, Christ sings that the Lord is loving towards all he has made. Christ says in Matthew's gospel, God makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. The Lord is loving to all he has made. But Christ goes on to sing more. And this part of his song, he sings particularly for us, the Christians, those who hail God as king, that the Lord is close and caring. Verse 18, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. In 2018, a song got to the number one in the charts by Jess Glynn, and the song was called I'll Be There. And in this song, Jess Glynn makes some pretty big claims. She sings, when you're lost in darkness, I'll be there. I'll be there when your heart is breaking. You'll never be alone. I'll be there for you. I'll be there. You see, Jess Glynn is hitting on something that we want, that we need. Someone to be with us through thick and thin. But she could never fulfill what she promises. She cannot, no matter how hard she tries, be there for someone at all times. She is limited. But when God makes this promise, when God sings, I'll be there, he can fulfill it. And he will. The reality is that God is stood by our side. He is stood by our side in the morning and in the evening. He is stood by our side in our moments of fear, doubt, sadness, and concern. He is there with us in our joy, in our gladness, in our faith, and our delight. Christ thinks he will be near to all who call on him. If you're someone who, when you opened up this psalm this morning, and heard it read, we're thinking, how could I possibly praise God when life is so tough? Well, I wonder whether this truth could be a great comfort and delight to you. The Lord is near you when you call on him. He watches over you day by day. And the thing that really blows my mind is that this God who is near, who is with us, who has stood by our side, is the same God that Christ sings throughout this psalm. The God who is with you at all times is the God who created everything with his words. Is the God who rescued his people from Egypt, who reigns over this eternal kingdom, who with compassion welcomes all, who provides every good gift of this world. That is the King that is there with us when we go to sleep and when we wake up. And Christ sings, and you can understand how Christ finishes this song by saying, "My mouth will speak of praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever." I hope the application is clear to us today. Are we going to join in the praises given by our King? You see, to join in Christ's praise is not only singing on a Sunday. Yes, that's part of it. Part of it is as we sing praises from our hearts as we gather Sunday by Sunday. But it's more than that. If we're going to join in Christ's praise, then it's this unceasing, unending praise that he is singing. It's praising God on a Monday evening after school. It's praising God when the day has been wonderful and when the day has been rubbish. It's praising God in song. It's praising God as we speak to others. It's praising God in the quietness of our own hearts as we speak to him. And you'll rightly ask, but what is going to help me do that? What is going to help me transform my life so I can join in this unending and unceasing praise? We all know that we don't do that. We all know that we can't do that. This isn't going to be fixed by just being more determined. Oh, I'm going to be determined that there will never be a moment that I'm going to fail to praise God. But this psalm massively helps us to join in that praise more. I wonder if you notice what Christ does in this psalm. You see, he fixes his eyes on the reality of God, which can only lead for him to one thing: praise. At the college that I study at, I share a study with a guy who absolutely loves golf. Now, I couldn't care a bit about golf a year ago. I've now played my first round. I now have my own very second-hand set of golf clubs. And it's as he's spoken about it, as he's shown his love and desire for golf, that kind of is infectious. I've wanted to give it a go. I've wanted to try. And I think kind of in the same way, this psalm is working similarly for us. As we hear that Christ sings of his absolute delight and love for God, it's infectious. We can't help but join in. You see, I think that life can be a bit like walking through a fog at times. This fog that surrounds us. This fog that we can't get away from. All that the busyness, the things to do, the burdens, the stresses, the pain, the hardship. This life is just, it feels like a fog. Yet Christ is singing of this sun, the reality that is outside the fog. Christ is singing of the sun and all its brilliance that although we can't see fully now, it is really there. God in his wonder and majesty. God in his beauty and brilliance. God in all his glory and goodness and greatness. And Christ knows, Christ seen the sun in his fullness. And he is singing this praise. And we might only see a few rays through the fog. Maybe we see very little of the sun, but we can trust that Christ is singing rightly of what is there. And we can know with confidence that there is really God there shining in all his brilliance. And one day that fog will lift. And one day we will see that God face to face, that sun, and we will see all his brilliance and wonder. And we will never stop praising. We will join in that praise for all eternity because we can't help it. Because we've seen the reality of who God is and all he has done and who he is for us. Today, though, we may only be seeing rays, but I think this psalm helps us to see a bit more of the reality beyond the fog. I wonder whether this week, maybe, if you, like me, frequently struggle to praise the Lord, but you long to sing this unending praise with Christ, maybe this week it might be helpful to open up your Bible each morning, open up this psalm, read a verse, pause, and think. Remember that this is the reality beyond the fog of the world around. And praise God. Maybe then in the evening you do the same. Open up the Bible, the same verse, think, and praise our God. You see, our God is great and mighty, glorious and compassionate, loving and faithful, close and caring. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. Amen.